If you could turn with me this morning to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, one of the most quoted passages of Scripture by, I would say, the world at large. A lot of people that have any type of religious background of going to church at all would probably be able to give you at least a portion of Psalm 23, one that is not unfamiliar. But folks, this morning, as I considered working through this past week and preparing for this Sunday, what the Lord would have me to speak on, there is obviously a lot happening in our world, our country, our area, and all of our lives individually right now. And as Christians, it is easy to feel overwhelmed along with the rest of the world right now. It's easy to be in a place where we feel the anxiety and the fear begin to grip us. And we begin to question exactly what it is we are to be trusting in. We know that we are to trust in God. We know that we are supposed to find our hope in Him. We know that as Christians, our focus should be on Christ as our example. And as we seek Him and we find that strength in Him. But folks, many times as believers and as I have conversations with people, there is that fear and anxiety that is overwhelming us. We know the right things to say, but are we truly following after the model that Christ has given us, that the Lord has given us in His Word? As I consider the thoughts of this past year, year and a half, and really if it wasn't the events of this last year and a half, it's always something else happening. There's always something taking place in our lives that we can allow to control us. But as you consider the great rise in the last year and the amount of cases of depression and anxiety, and a little over a third of the people in this nation struggle with feelings of anxiety and depression. And if you're out in the community for any time at all, you see it all around you. Maybe you see it in your own home. Maybe you know these feelings in your life individually. When we're faced with the difficulties of life, when we're faced with questions, where are we going to take our kids to school? Who is going to educate them? When we have health concerns, we have questions, we don't know what's going to take place in the future with our health, with our family's health. When we're faced with job security questions, am I going to have a job tomorrow or the next day or the day after that? Is my job stressing me out? Is there difficulty with going to work each day? Folks, all of us face these questions to one degree or another. And as believers, where does that leave us? And as we consider Psalm 23, I want to begin with the question here you have in your notes. Is this feeling of helplessness, is feeling helpless normal? Because what I find a lot of times is we as Christians, when we begin to feel that anxiety, we begin to have those feelings of depression, we suppress them and put them down and say, this is not right, I shouldn't deal with this, and I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist. And folks, whenever there is a circumstance in our life and we try to put it away and pretend it doesn't exist and just act as if it's not there, the problem is it doesn't go away on its own. It doesn't just cease to exist because we hope it does. Folks, as we look at Scripture, we see account after account after account of individuals that lived lives much as we did, though it was in a much different time period, that dealt with the same things we do, that had the same worries and concerns of life, that had questions about what was going to take place tomorrow, that were concerned about their family and their friends. Consider Moses, the great fear that he faced. His social anxiety controlled him to the point that he was essentially begging God to find somebody else to be God's mouthpiece. He was controlled by a fear of, am I going to say the right thing? Am I the one that's truly the one that's supposed to represent you, Lord? And God used him in an amazing way. We think about Elijah, who right after a great victory that God gave him, worked through him and saw some amazing conversion and did a great thing. He went off into a quiet place by a small little creek, a brook, and was so overwhelmed with depression and anxiety and a fear of the circumstances that he was facing that he asked God to take his life. Folks, he was ready for it all to be over. He was ready for this world to cease to exist, and even though God had been using him in a great way, and as we know, God continued to use him in a great way, at that point, he was overwhelmed with fear and anxiety and was ready for it to all end. We think of Job, who lost his entire family except for his wife, lost nearly every single one of his possessions, the great wealth that he had. And then as we talk about this account many times, that even those that came to encourage him brought an even greater trial. The friends that he hoped could help him, and even his wife, who should be his greatest support at that point, he was more alone than he ever was before. Job had fears. Job had anxiety. Job questioned what God was doing in his life. He didn't understand the circumstances. He didn't see what God was doing, as we are able to as we look at that account. Think about David. David constantly is running from threats on his life. Whether it was Saul, who was trying to kill him as the next king of Israel, whether it was his own son, Absalom, or there was other kings that he was facing, whatever the circumstances, he was constantly running from those. You also think about with David, we see the anxiety that he felt from consequences from sin in his life. See, after his sin with Bathsheba, as he cries out in some of the Psalms and explains his situation and the fear that he is facing and realizing the effect that those sin choices had on him, on his family, and on the country that he was leading. Folks, each one of these characters and so many more throughout Scripture faced the fear, anxiety, and depression that controls us, that we face on a day-to-day basis as well. You are not alone. We understand what it is like to go through times when we don't have answers. We don't know where to go. But folks, as Christians, I'm here to tell you that according to God's word, we do have a place to go. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our strength. He is our shield. He is that sure foundation. And that is what brings us to Psalm 23. This Psalm of David. And to set the stage a little bit, understand that as we begin this, we realize that David wrote this psalm in a time of peace, a time of quiet, a time when he was not running for his life, in a time where things were somewhat stable. This is a unique psalm in the fact that most of David's psalms were written in the times of turmoil, were written when he was afraid for his life or his circumstances. And yet David, as he writes this, he's reflecting on what God is giving him in the moment and the peace that he has. And he also reflects back on the times of difficulty and the times of struggle and how God has encouraged him. I want to spend a few moments here looking through this very familiar psalm, giving us an understanding of the truths here and answering the question of what does the shepherd do for his sheep. And then I want us to look at a couple other verses that encourage us and challenge us as we look to our heavenly shepherd. Let's read Psalm 23. We'll open with a word of prayer and continue from there. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, as we look at this passage, we look at your word this morning. I'm very aware of the difficulties that we all as a group, as a congregation, and as individuals are facing. Lord, there's many questions that we don't feel we have the answers to. There's circumstances that are seemingly beyond our control. Yet, Lord, I know that you have a plan, that none of the circumstances of our lives take you by surprise. Lord, I pray that we would, with David, be able to look back in this point in time in our life and be able to see how you have guided us. You have brought us through as we looked to you. Lord, I pray that we would find our strength in you and you alone. Lord, encourage each person that is here as they seek you, that they will find you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the salvation that you give to us. That is the most precious gift that we could ever receive. Lord, I pray as we discuss these truths this morning, that if there is anyone here that does not know for sure where they're going to spend eternity, that they cannot call the Lord their shepherd, that today would be their day of salvation. We pray that all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. As we look at Psalm 23, there's six simple truths that we see in each one of these verses about who our shepherd is to us, who God our Father, who our heavenly Savior is, and what he does for his sheep. We see in verse 1 that the shepherd provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is not a feeling of desire. As we trust in the Lord and we see him as our shepherd and acknowledge him for salvation, we can go to him in times of need. But the principle that is given here is that we are not in need when we are under the care of our shepherd. That our basic needs are cared for, as we see even in verse 2, that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The things that we need most in life, that we truly need for survival and basic living, that God provides for us. He gives us that rest. There are circumstances in life where it doesn't feel like we can rest. There are circumstances we face that I've been through in the past where the last thing I want to do is rest. When I'm trying to help people through a difficult time and walk through a situation that they're not planned for, the thing that I always encourage them to is to rest. Sleep does not always come. Sleep is sometimes the last thing that is even possible, but rest is so needed to calm our minds, even if our minds are working and we're thinking about many different things. Folks, we need rest, and yet we fail so often in being able to provide ourselves rest. We have different things that come up, and desires and plans and circumstances. Rest does not come. Folks, the shepherd, our heavenly shepherd, gives us a rest that is beyond comprehension. A rest that gives us that relaxation that is unexplainable, that peace that passes understanding. And we see in verse 3 that the shepherd heals and guides. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we go through times of wounding, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever the circumstances of life, he restores us. He encourages us in a way that the world cannot even begin to understand. The world, when they go through times of hurt and confusion and heartache, they have each other to look to. They have medicine. They have different things that this world provides that can provide relief, that can help us in the short term. But as Christians, we understand that the only true, long-lasting relief that can go even beyond this world and through eternity is found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, he heals us, but he also guides us. Aren't we thankful that we can look to a guide in these times? That though the answers may not be obvious, that as we trust in him and we look to him on a daily basis, he promises to guide us. He promises to lead us in the paths of righteousness during these difficult times. Verse 4, we see that the shepherd strengthens and provides. In these difficult times of life and struggles, when it seems like there is no hope, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even when we are faced with the most difficult circumstance, and in this point we might even be afraid for our life or our livelihood or others around us, we do not need to fear evil. When it seems like evil is all around us, and I got a surprise for you this morning, evil is all around us, folks. Evil is everywhere. When we step foot outside of our house, when we are inside of our house, when we are with other people, folks, evil is ever present. This world is not righteous. This world is full of evil, and it should not surprise us when we are surrounded by it. Folks, even in those moments, we do not need to fear it. And the reason being is, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's presence brings comfort. God's presence is what heals us and comforts us in those times. Verse 5, the shepherd provides and blesses. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The idea here is that the sheep, we are provided and blessed above and beyond what we could ever hope or expect. That even when we are facing these difficult times and we don't know what's happening, that we can look back as David is doing here and we can see how God gave us so much more than we even realized we needed at that time. That the idea of the cup runneth over, that sitting at that table in the presence of our enemies, God is caring for us, he's providing, and he's blessing us even in those times of heartache. And lastly, in verse 6, the shepherd promises goodness and mercy. And this goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The sheep that follows the shepherd experiences his lifelong love. That love is available to us. That love is freely offered. And yet, how many people reject God's love? How many people reject his care, reject his goodness, reject his mercy that is there on our behalf? Folks, this simple psalm, this reflection of David is so vital for us today to understand the principles and realize that this same God that he is looking to is the same God that we serve today. That the circumstances that David felt at times overwhelmed him and he couldn't explain, and yet he could still look at this and this mindset and trust in the Lord. Folks, the same circumstances that we face, though different, that are beyond our control, we can look to the Lord and trust in him in these times. He promises to strengthen us. But folks, as we are looking to our shepherd, as we are looking for him, and sometimes the question might come in our minds, I am a Christian. I know that I have received that gift of salvation that God has offered to me. And yet, there are times that God feels distant. There are times that, though I know he's there, I can't feel his presence. Folks, how do we answer that question? How do we take these truths that we see in Psalm 23 and elsewhere in Scripture and understand that God is present to us? I want us to consider these truths to dwell on, and then there is a principle that is vital to understand at the end here. Throughout Scripture, we see the confidence that we can have in God and the peace that comes, that as those feelings of fear and anxiety begin to control us and overwhelm us, we can trust in him. Realize, first of all, that our God is our strength. Now, our strength in and of ourselves fails. The strength that I have is extremely inadequate. The strength that I have is inadequate in every circumstance of life. Even though my 3-year-old daughter thinks that I can move mountains, and she was trying to pick up this boulder. It was probably 600 pounds the other day. And I was like, are you able to grab that? And she said, no, but I know you can. I was like, yep, well, I'm not going to show you right now, but you just keep believing that. And at some other point in time, I'll do that for you. My strength is inadequate to pick that up, just as she was. But she had a confidence in me. The difference here is that I can have a confidence in God that is not just based on some childlike belief. It is based on a trust and a hope and a knowing of our God and realizing that he is there for us, that he is able to move mountains, that he is able to be our strength in these difficult times. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, to fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God will strengthen us. God will give us that strength that we need in times of life as he upholds us with his right hand. You see, the strength is what he is giving us. It's nothing we can do in and of ourselves. God is our strength. Secondly, rest is possible through him. This rest that was talked about in Psalm 23, we see reflected in Matthew 11 as Jesus is speaking here. Verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Are any of you here today in need of rest? Do any of you feel you are laboring, you're heavy laden with the weights of life? You come to the Lord, he will give you rest. Thirdly, we see that we seek God and we find his peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, we looked at this passage a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious over the circumstances of life. Don't let anxiety control you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens when we do that, when we come to the Lord in prayer? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall keep your hearts. It means it guards it. It keeps it secure. It holds it in place. Folks, there are so many times in life where it feels like my circumstances are changing all the time. Nothing feels sure. Nothing feels stable. As soon as I get a grip on something over here, this thing falls apart. And as soon as I go and take care of that over here, this falls apart. And I begin to ask myself, well, what is happening? What's happening is life, and that circumstances are beyond our control, and that if we try to handle things in our own strength, there is no peace. There is no rest. But if we allow that anxiousness to control us, we're not going to find the answer. But as soon as we stop being anxious, as soon as we stop allowing it to control us, and instead we turn our attention on seeking the Lord and praying to him with thanksgiving, we're asking him for assistance. He gives us that peace. He gives us that peace that passes understanding and that guards and keeps us. Folks, seek God and find his peace. The number four, trust God with your cares and concerns. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Are we casting all of our care on him? Do we know that he cares for us? If you're honest with yourself, there's been points and times in your life where we know who God is and we have accepted that gift of salvation. But we ask ourselves that question, as David did many times, where are you, God? I know you love me, I know you care for me, but where are you in this moment? I'm seeking you, I'm searching for you. Folks, are we casting our care on him? Folks, he cares for us. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, his only son, to die on the cross in our place, to live a life as a man here, to go through the temptations and the trials that we do as well as men and women here on this earth. He understands us more than anyone else could. Folks, he cares for you. But folks, these truths are encouraging. These truths are what we know. And I'm sure none of these verses were new to you. That we can find strength in God, that we can find rest, that we can find peace, that we know that God cares. But folks, what we do many times as believers is we just think about those truths and then we hope that they just happen to us. We think about these truths and we're like, well, if I just believe it, it's gonna happen and I'm gonna find all these things. What is important to notice in each one of these passages is there is a responsibility on our end. See, we are challenged in Isaiah 41, first of all, to fear not, to stop fearing, to not allow fear to control us. We're challenged in Matthew 11 to come to the Lord, to actually go to him, to bring those burdens, to bring that need for rest to him. We're challenged in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, to pray, to actively be seeking the Lord, to be bringing those burdens before him and let all of our needs be known to him. And in 1 Peter 5, 7, we are supposed to cast our cares upon him. Folks, are we sitting back passively waiting for something to happen and hoping that God is just going to be there. Folks, He is there. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us at that point of salvation. We are secure eternally in Him. He is present. But folks, how often do we just sit back and hope that God is going to reveal Himself to us when He is right there waiting for us to call upon Him, to stop fearing, to come unto Him, to seek Him in prayer, and to cast our cares on Him. Folks, there are actions that we need in order to find that heavenly shepherd. There are actions that we have to do on a daily basis to find that strength, to find that rest, to find the peace, and to see the care that the Lord has for us. But folks, in closing, I want to go back to verse 1 of Psalm 23. I want you to notice an important phrase here. As David is writing this, he begins Psalm 23 and all the truths and reminders that are in there by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can you say this morning that the Lord is your shepherd? Can you look to our Heavenly Father and say that that is my loving Heavenly Father, that is my shepherd, as David could? Folks, if you can't say that, then none of these truths and none of these things available to His sheep are available to you. You are as that lost sheep. You are as that one that is off on its own, that is not under the care of the shepherd. You left to your own devices are lost and hopelessly headed to an eternal death in hell. A hell that is a very real place, ultimately to that lake of fire where you'll be eternally tormented. It's not a pretty ending if you do not have the Lord as your shepherd. But folks, there is hope. As we looked in John 14 this morning, Jesus told His disciples how to have that eternal security. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." What must you do to be saved? Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and you have access to all of these comforts. You have access to all of these truths. You have access to the strength that God provides, to the rest that He provides, to the peace that He gives, to the concerns and cares that you can cast on Him if you but call on the name of the Lord this morning. Folks, this is not some mystical belief, some possible hope that we have if He is real. Jesus Christ is real today as He was before and as He's going to be in eternity, and He is offering that salvation to you today. Are you overwhelmed with the cares and concerns of life? Are you burdened down by what's taking place? Can you relate to some of these circumstances that David has expressed in Psalm 23 and the valley of the shadow of death? Are you fearing evil? Are you fearing what is going to happen to you? Folks, if you're in that situation, today is your day of salvation if you but call on Him. And if this is the first time you've heard this and you're visiting today and you don't know exactly how to go about that, please come and grab me. Grab someone else that you know that you can talk to. There are so many people in this room that would love to show you from God's Word how simple it truly is to acknowledge that you're in need of a Savior and that Savior is Jesus. And if you're wanting that hope and security and that rest, it's available to you if you call on His name. But then, Christian, if the Lord is truly your shepherd, if you can say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd," if we can say that, we can also say, "I shall not want." Folks, I understand some of the difficulties you're facing, whether it's health concerns, whether it's questions about the future, whether it's loved ones that you care for, whether it's friends that you're praying about. I understand the hurt and the pain and the concerns that are taking place. But I know that we serve a Savior that can be and is your strength. And we can all truly say together, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word, for the challenge it is, but also the comfort it can bring. Lord, as we consider these truths this morning, I pray that we'd be able to rest in you, that though peace seems so far away right now in many of our lives, it is accessible. It is possible through you. Lord, help us to call upon you, to actively be seeking you, to take full advantage of the blessings that you want to pour on us. Lord, I thank you. We don't have to go through difficult times of life alone. We don't have to struggle through things hoping that you're there. Lord, we can know your presence. We can know you are there. Lord, help us to seek you and find you. Lord, I do pray for any person here today that whether this is the first time or the 1,000,000th time that they have heard the gospel presented, that they would acknowledge their need for a Savior today, that they would see their need for a Savior, that they would desire to have you as their shepherd, as the one caring for them. Lord, that they would not leave this church without calling upon your name for salvation. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love us, that the only reason we know how to love is by looking to you. Strengthen each one of us. Help us to find that rest that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me to number